from Faith Journeys, and today I'm visiting with the Right Reverend Phoebe Rowe from the Diocese of West Tennessee, and we're going to talk about her upcoming pilgrimage to Greece. So, Bishop Rowe, thank you so much for joining me today. I know that there are a lot of questions people have about Greece and about pilgrimage in general, and I thought this would be a really good format for us to go over some of those questions and to help people make a much more informed decision.
Thanks a lot, Darren. It's wonderful to be with you and to talk about this exciting trip. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, I thought people might be interested to know that we have a mutual acquaintance. My spouse is the Reverend Canon Holly Herring, and she's the canon of her center at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix. And she and Bishop Rowe went to seminary together at Virginia Theological Seminary. And I've been told that Holly was Phoebe's dorm monitor back when people called her Phoebe instead of Bishop. Yep. And there are some stories about some football games and some yelling at the television. And I've been told that you can be quite passionate about your football.
I am. There's a whole nother side of me, Darren, that comes out when it's football season. So and that's probably a side that's best hidden. It can be a little scary, but yes, I am a football fanatic.
Well, we won't broach that subject anymore. We'll move on. So, Bishop, let's start with a few questions. You and I have kind of prepped some things that we want to talk mm-hmm. about, but I want to ask you a couple questions about this being your first diocesan pilgrimage. So have you been to Greece before?
So, no, I have not. Greece has been on my bucket list for a while. I did have the opportunity to travel to Turkey maybe 2009, 2010, and so went to Cappadocia and to Ephesus, cities where two of the churches planted by Paul, the Apostle Paul, are located. And I've always wanted to really travel in Paul's footsteps. So that's why I'm really excited about this upcoming trip.
Great. So I know you and I have spoken about your interest in this, and I know that that really takes precedence over anything, is that experience of visiting these places that Paul writes letters to. So what are you most looking forward to seeing or doing on this pilgrimage?
Just being open to the culture, the history. I know that Greece is a beautiful place. I've heard great things about the food and the music and the weather. But I can tell you, having gone to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, also probably in the same time frame that I went to Turkey, actually being there changed the way that I read scripture. For example, I thought that the desert was like days and days and days away from Jerusalem and didn't realize just how close it was. So I'm also hoping, Darren, to have a better understanding as I'm reading the letters of Paul. If I can have those physical locations in my mind, it'll help give me a better context.
So I'm curious, what is your favorite letter by Paul?
Well, you know, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Paul. One of my favorite passages of scripture in the entire Bible comes from Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So that has been a powerful scripture just in my own personal faith journey. But some of the stuff that letters attributed to Paul have to say about women and enslaved persons are really challenging for me.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the plug in using the term faith journeys. I really appreciate that. So I know that people around the diocese, because I've spoken with some, I was actually at your diocesan convention a couple of years ago and answered some questions from people, but they want to know about pilgrimage. They want to know about international travel. And obviously the elephant in the room right now, they want to know about COVID. So, I want to go through some questions, and I'll let you ask me questions. I'll answer them to my best ability to let people know about those things to help them decide if they'd like to register for this trip.
Okay. So I think this trip is planned for June of 2022. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a crystal ball, but I wonder, Darren, what sorts of travel restrictions might we have in the summer of 2022 based upon COVID?
Yes, that's a great question. Things are very fluid right now, and we keep really well connected with groups like the World Health Organization, obviously, and ASTA, the American Society of Travel Agents, and several other organizations of international travel agents that we belong to. So we're constantly monitoring. And to say what things are going to be like in the summer of 22, we don't know. We know the expectation right now industry-wide is that masks will still probably be required. There will be sanitation stations, not only at the sites, but on the motor coaches. There will be packets when you check into your hotel that will contain extra disposable masks and gloves and hand sanitizer and things like that. So you'll have this packet that then you can take with you when you're going out places. You know, countries like Israel have come out with new plans that, and those of you that may have been to Israel know, the food there is fantastic and the meals that are served at the hotels are in a buffet style. That will be no more, probably ever. There'll still be a variety of food and there'll still be all those wonderful choices, but things will be served now by a staff that will put on your plate and hand you the plate instead of everyone having access. So with all of those things changing, we really don't know, but I would say the expectation is there will be some restriction.
Got it. So then do you think that if I am going to be going on the trip, I'll have to show evidence that I have had one of the COVID vaccines?
I think it is very likely. Mm-hmm. I would say if I were going on this trip, which actually I might, we'll see. Yeah. My wife and I were talking about it, that I would expect to have had a vaccination before being allowed in countries. Those rules, again, are very fluid and things are changing, but it makes sense, not only from a respecting the dignity of all human beings, to protecting our neighbors, but also to be protecting ourselves. If the vaccine is available, why wouldn't we have it? And if we have it, it's going to make it much easier for us to travel in the future.
Got it. So how has your organization, Faith Journeys, already had to adjust in terms of how you all plan trips and carry out trips based upon COVID?
Again, we have kept great contact with organizations that we are members of, but we also have offices around the world. We have an office in Athens. So we keep contact with them and they keep us up to date on what's going on in the country, when flights are expected to start coming in, what restrictions are. So we are able then, by that close communication with people on the ground in the country, to be able to pass that information along in a much timelier and more effective manner, I think. It also gives us a much greater reach in being able to keep our groups, when they're traveling, protected. That is our primary goal, along with it being a spiritual experience, that everyone is safe. So we are, you know, we have had to move groups. We've had to roll them over to different dates. And that's always something, you know, if things were to happen with the virus that are out of all of our controls and it's still raging a year from now, and we say, you know, this just isn't a good idea, we would be able to just simply move the trip back to a future date. And anyone that had registered for the trip, their money is protected. And in fact, from a safety security standpoint, I think it's important for people to know that when you deposit money with us and make payments, that those payments go into, for lack of a better term, an escrow account. That is in your group's name that can't be touched unless it's being used to pay expenses for your group. So we're not going to rob Peter to pay Paul. We'll be holding that money, and then we can simply move it over to another year's trip if we need to. But, you know, we had groups travel as late as the end of February of 2020. Uh-huh. So we were dealing with the restrictions coming on board and trying to make sure these groups were safe traveling. So I hope that's answered the question. It's really a hard question to answer, but in a bit, I'm going to talk about our portal. And if you go onto the portal to look at the information for the group, there is a document on there, which I don't know if I hold it up, if you can, oh, it's going to pixelate in my
yeah.
But it's called Faith Journey Safety and Security Through the Pandemic and Beyond. And it is an entire document we have created about our response to the pandemic and safety and what we do to protect you and what you can do to protect yourself. So it can be very helpful for anyone who has that question.
Okay, great. Great. So, you know, I have been on vacation and I've also been on pilgrimage, and there is a distinction. So we might want to spend a little bit of time just discussing what that distinction is.
Yeah. It's an important one to me. I think in what I do, I love my job, for one, because I get to give people life-changing experiences. Mm-hmm. It's not about going and seeing the sights, but that's part of it. Mm-hmm. It's about the contemplative, the spiritual, the connection. I have worked with a pastor in the past that I love the line that he said. He said, when we were standing in that place, it was like the Bible went from black and white to full color. Mm. All of a sudden, everything we had read and studied came alive to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important. And I think that's the fundamental of pilgrimage. If you're not having an itinerary that is built with time for worship, time for reflection, time for contemplation, then it's not a pilgrimage. It is a sightseeing trip. And that's fine if that's what people okay. want to do. But going on a trip like this, we want them to have the experience of spirituality.
Yeah. I want to encourage everyone who's considering the trip to make sure that you bring a journal with you so that every day you can reflect on the events and the experiences and ask where God was in the midst of that. And I am looking forward to leading some sort of liturgy every day, you know, depending upon the schedule. It might be morning prayer. It could be evening prayer. We will have some opportunities also for Holy Eucharist at some of these sites. So we are definitely going to have a spiritual component in it and time as we visit various locations for people to pause and reflect.
Yes, I think that, you know, we've designed the itinerary with flexibility, but also with design time for worship. So it may be, as you said, we may have morning prayer a few days. We may have a compline service on different days. We will certainly have Eucharist at some point during that. But we've also built it with the flexibility of if you decide you want to do something because God is moving you to that at a particular right. moment, we will make sure that you'll be able to do that as well.
Great. So in case some of our potential participants have never been to this part of Europe before, approximately how long is the flight, Darren, to get to Greece?
The flight to Greece from the east coast of the United States is about 8 hours. I suppose more of us are used to, if we do fly to Europe, used to flying to England or France and that side, which is usually 6 to 7 hours. So it is a little bit further over. Now flying from Memphis, obviously we will have to, I don't believe there's a direct flight from Memphis to Athens, we'll have to connect at some point, which will add. So I would say, you know, you should expect a day of travel that's probably going to be about 12 hours.
Got it.
But with the time difference, that is eased a bit. And we do try to make sure that your first day when you arrive is full of outdoor activities to get you in the sunlight to get you with the fresh air and allow you to stay up as long as possible, going to bed
right. at
a reasonable time so you can counterbalance the jet lag a little bit better.
Got it. So is it Faith Journey's policy to have everybody from the trip seated all together in a big block of seats on the plane, or will I have some option in terms of selecting my seat?
Well, it is really according to which airline we use. We work with all the major airlines and we're a preferred partner with them. So when we get to the point where we are doing the actual contract right now, our costs are based on estimates because we're too far out to be able to make that group contract.
Right.
But when we do, and we'll work with you personally to give you choices of what you think may work best. Maybe one itinerary is a little longer, but is less expensive. And maybe one itinerary has more layovers or more of a direct path. It is more expensive, but still falls within our budget. We'll make sure that we do that. Some of the airlines will allow us to do our seating in blocks. Some of our airlines will allow us to allow the passengers individually to choose where they want to sit on the plane. Some airlines will also allow us to do upgrades to individual seats, to business class, first class, premier, things like that. But not all of them will. So unfortunately, it's a question we can't really answer in the moment and until we know. What we do suggest is if you know you want to fly business class or first class, you can always opt out of the Faith Journey's air and do the air on your own.
Got it.
Using points if you wanted to, if you had airline points from a credit card or from other flights. And sometimes that is more convenient for you. And we're happy to help you with those arrangements and giving you the flight numbers that we're planning on traveling on and the arrival times in case you even wanted to fly on a different airline.
Got it. So would the same be true if I wanted to go, say, a week early or stay several days at the conclusion of the trip? Would it be better for me to do the land portion only and then book my own flight?
Yes, and this, that's a fantastic question that gets really complicated. So I wanna make sure I answer it in a very precise way. So let's start with extending the trip. Group
Got
airline
it.
Tickets, when they're booked as a group, do allow for what the industry calls a flight deviation. Flight deviation means that you're either going to fly on a different date or from a different place, but they can only happen on the return of the trip. They can't happen on the departure. So if you wanted to stay, you could fly over with everyone from Tennessee that's going on, wherever that's going on this trip. And you could say, you know, I've never been to Rome. I've always wanted to do that. So I'd like to deviate and go to Rome and spend a week there and fly back from Da Vinci Airport.
Right.
You would let us know that information. We would get the deviation done with the airline. And if there's any difference in the cost of the tickets, which there could be, it might actually be less cost, that may be a little more. We never know until we do it. You would pay whatever that difference is. Now, if you wanted to go over ahead of time, you would need to opt out of the group air because we can't send you over. It's a great thing to do. And we'll even help you with the arrangements and make suggestions. But we won't be able to include you on the group air.
Got it. So then once we get there, how is the group going to be getting around? Are we all on the same bus? Will there be multiple buses?
You will have a private deluxe motor coach, air conditioned coach. Most of our coaches around the world, I can never guarantee 100%, but I would say 95%. Have a Wi-Fi router on them as well. So you can check your email and post to social media while you're traveling from place to place. It is your group's private coach and driver that will be with you the entire time. If you have more than a particular amount, let's say you ended up with 100 people that wanted to go on this trip, then we would obviously have to split and have more than one coach. Most motor coaches seat between 49 and 52. So we don't want every seat full. So 45 or so would be good for that coach. And it will take you all over the country, wherever the stops happen to be. But as part of your trip, which is a little bit different, you yes. have a cruise as yes. part of that. So some of your transportation will be on a cruise ship as well.
Awesome. And do the coaches tend to have restrooms on them?
They do. And I found a fascinating website today, because I was just doing some research, that says that Greek motor coaches almost always have a toilet on them, but you are usually not ever allowed to use it. So I think it's in case of emergency, but got our it. Drivers and our guides are trained to know to make sure you stop on regular basis for those comfort stops, and they'll make sure that you never have to worry about
got that it. Situation. Great. So now, what types of hotels will we be staying in during the trip?
We tend to always use what's called a superior tourist class hotel. Mm-hmm. Those are 3 to 4 star. Americans tend to think of the stars of hotels based more on the fanciness and the amenities. Mm-hmm. Or European hotels, the stars tend to be more of the size of the room. So okay. we've sought out hotels that we consider to be extremely clean, spacious, mm-hmm. comfortable, that understand the American sensibilities and needs in rooms. I was just speaking to someone the other day about a lot of restrooms in European hotels. The shower and the toilet are in this, not just in the same room, but they are the same room. There's no divider.
Right.
Yep. And sometimes we look at that and say, what am I supposed to do with this? There's no shower curtain. There's So we try to use hotels that actually are much more similar to what we would have in the United States, just so you're more comfortable. But in terms of hotel, if you want to see what the hotels look like and learn more about them, we have a group portal for every group that travels with us. And if you go to our website, which is myfaithjourneys.com, and I'll see if I can actually type that onto this recording so people okay. have that link. And then there's a section that says log in. If you go to that, your group's number is 22001. So you're actually the first group that we had registered to travel in 2022.
Got it.
And if you go to the brochure that's within your group's documents, the hotels are listed there, and you'll notice that they're in blue on that PDF, which means mm-hmm. they are a hyperlink. And if you click that, it will actually take you directly to the hotel's website and the cruise line website. So you can look and see what amenities they have and what the rooms look
great.
Like and
all that. Now, if any of the folks traveling are single, would they have the option of having their own room instead of having to share with someone they don't know?
They will. We do have the opportunity to do what's called a single supplement. We need to know that so we can make
okay.
sure we booked it correctly with the hotel. There is an additional fee for it because mm-hmm. the hotel room costs the same no matter if one person's in it or two
got
people
it.
Are in it. And I am just pulling up so I can make sure to tell you correctly what the single supplement is for your group. And let me just see if
okay.
it is on this document. It is $803. So tell us you want that and pay that additional. And the reason that seems high, it's because of the cruise line more than the
yeah.
hotels. A cruise room obviously is more expensive, and
got it.
Putting one person in it is going to cost a bit more.
Got it. So of course we know that to travel overseas, we will need a valid passport. But I'm wondering, if this trip is planned for the summer of 2022, what if my passport is about to expire soon?
International law requires that a passport have 6 months prior to its expiration for you to be able to enter other countries. So
okay.
if your passport is going to expire anytime in the year 2022, you will need to renew it before you travel to make sure that you have 6 months. The renewal process is so much easier than getting a new passport. It's just a short form and a small fee, and you send it in and you're all set. And the newer passports, if you don't have one of the new ones, they actually have a computer chip built into them now. And there is a company that has a proposal out. This is going back to our COVID conversation. To use the storage space in that microchip to store your vaccination history.
Wow.
So back, some of you may remember if you traveled in the past to certain countries. I know, having been to Africa, I had a yellow piece of paper that had all those vaccinations written on it, and you just stuck it inside your passport, and it was really easy to lose. In fact, I don't know where my old one is anymore. So this new way, it'll be stored on a microchip, and they'll just be able to scan your passport and see that you have had vaccines for COVID.
Got it. So it sounds like people who are considering going on the trip who already have passports, if it's been a while since you've looked at it, it might be a good idea in 2021 to pull it out to see when the expiration date is and then figure out if you need to get it renewed.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to be in Greece. Do I need to know a few phrases in Greek to be able to communicate with people? What about the language?
Well, I think from our baptismal covenant in the Episcopal Church that that is always a good idea, because it shows that you really care.
Right.
But no, you really don't need to know any Greek at all. You will have a full-time tour manager with your group the entire time that's multilingual, that will take care of anything. If you need an aspirin or you need something from the pharmacy, they will be able to help you take care of any of those needs. So you really don't need to worry about it, other than I always think it is great, in my own personal opinion, to learn how to say hello and goodbye.
Yes.
How to say please and thank you.
Yep.
How to say where's the restroom. And I always try to also learn how to say God bless you. That's one one of my favorites that I always take. And other than that, you should be fine. Plus, the majority of people in Greece speak English, so it's, it would be very rare to run into someone that, that couldn't understand.
Got it. So some of these ruins or places that we're going to are quite historic in nature. We think about the Apostle Paul planting these churches about 2,000 years ago. So how much walking will there be? And I'm assuming that some of the stuff is not going to be ADA compliant the way we think about it in the U.S.
It is not. They do make a great attempt to allow people of any level of mobility the ability to get close to sites, to be able to see them. But the actual sites are historic in order to convert them to meet some sort of standard of accessibility. It would destroy the integrity of that particular site. So there is a good amount of walking. There may be uneven ground at times, but our tour managers are trained to make sure everyone is comfortable and everyone can keep up with the group. And the pacing is that that everyone going can feel that they are fully involved. Now, that's not to say that sometimes things happen. And you know, as a quick story, I will tell you, last time I was in Israel, I had really strained my back, and it was so uncomfortable for me to walk around. And we were at the Oasis of Ein Gedi, which has a lovely flat paved walkway to get to the first waterfall. And then if you want to go to the other waterfalls, you have to kind of do a little minor rock climbing up some stone stairs. And, and you know, I just looked at that and said, I don't think I can do that today. So I found a park bench and sat down and just had a lovely time, people watching, and let the group go on. And 10 minutes later, after they'd seen the waterfall,
they came back
down and passed right by where I was, and I rejoined the group and we left. So there are always opportunities. If you're not feeling well, you could stay on the coach. The driver is always with the coach. They never leave.
Okay.
You may decide that you want to, you know, take a rest somewhere and set, as I did, while the group goes on, knowing that they're going to come back. But we tried to design our itineraries to where anyone really with limited mobility would be perfectly fine. If you want an expectation, if you're a smartwatch wearer where you're keeping track of your steps, I would say you could expect between 4 to 5 miles of walking a day. That's not at a time. That's not 10,000 steps.
Over the course of an entire day.
Over the course of an entire day. That would probably be about the most you would ever walk.
Okay. So I'm hoping, Darren, that some people are really excited about this trip the way you and I are. So if people are ready to sign up, first of all, can we register now? And if so, where would I go to register?
You can register now. We have opened that up. You have a couple of choices. Probably the easiest is to go to the portal that I was speaking of. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll get that information posted at the end of this video. You put in your group number and pull up the documents for the group, and you can actually pull up a PDF version of the registration form that then you can print off and fill out and mail to us. Or you could, if you have a converter, you could type the information into it and email that to us along with your deposit amount, which is, let me make sure I know that myself. Your deposit amount is $300.
Okay.
So you send that in, and once we have that, you are fully registered for the group. I will mention, if you have the ability to write a check or to get a check from your bank and you send that in, that is a better way to do that, especially through the mail. A credit card payment, we're happy to accept, but there is a 3% service charge on that.
Okay.
So it's actually cheaper to send us a check and spend 50, I don't even know how much a stamp is anymore, 52 cents maybe?
55, I think.
55? Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
I don't mail things very often, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Or you could, I believe that the Bishop's Office has some copies of the brochures.
If we not, do.
We'll get you some. You could request a copy of that brochure.
Absolutely.
And that has the registration form on it as well. And really, that is all you need to do is fill out the registration. Now, you may say, well, I don't have a passport, so I probably should wait to register. That doesn't matter. You could go ahead and send us the registration form and send in your passport information when you have received your passport.
Great. So yes, Darren has very graciously provided the diocesan office with some one-page flyers about the trip, as well as a multi-page brochure. So if anyone would like to get one of those via snail mail, the old-fashioned way, you can just call the diocesan office at 901-937-4700. Give us your name and address, and we'd be happy to put one in the mail. So, Darren, if the trip is going to be in the summer of 2022, what is the deadline for me to make a decision about whether I'm going to participate in this?
Yes, we need to know in order to start making bookings that how many people are actually going to go on the trip. So, your bishop and I have discussed this, and we both feel that you should make your decision by the end of this year. So December of 2021 would be the sort of our drop dead. If you haven't registered by then I'm not saying we can't accommodate you, but it will be much more difficult to accommodate. So I know some people may want to take a month or so longer to make a decision as vaccines are rolling out and more of the countries are getting inoculated and we're learning more about how countries are opening up. But I would urge you really that by the summer, which is the expectation time for countries to be starting to open, that you consider sending your registration by then, just so we can start making plans and making sure that we have all the rooms we need on that cruise.
Got it. Yeah, we don't want to wait till the last minute and somebody's really excited and then we're not able to accommodate.
Yes.
So one of the things that's occurred to me since we've been having this conversation is, I wonder if there's a book about either a short book about Greece that you're familiar with, or I'm thinking about different books that I have read having to do with pilgrimage that we might want to recommend that we read before we start the trip. Have you ever done that with any of your other trips?
I have with some groups for Israel, not for Greece. I know of a book, but I can't think of the title of it right now. So I'll have to see if I can add it,
add
it to our notes. That is a very good historical account of the voyage of the Apostle Paul. But I'll have to look at what the title is. I know there are many pilgrimage resources. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are great ones for particular places you're going to travel. One of my dear favorites, which wouldn't have anything to do with your group, is the Holy Island Prayer Book is one of my favorite prayer books. And Holy Island is just off the coast of England. And using that book in that site and reading those prayers in those places is unbelievably transformative. So I'll do some research, and maybe you have some you already know.
But yeah, I'll do some research also. And then one of the things is we'll have everybody's email address once they sign up for the trip. So my office can always email a link of resources for people to consider reading prior to next summer. Well, prior to the summer of 2022, actually.
Certainly, yeah.
Great.
And now people may have some other questions that we haven't covered. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may, the reason you haven't signed up is there's one question that you consider a silly question that you don't really want to ask out in public. That is why I am here. Just please contact me or our office, and there's no question too silly. There's no question too small. We want you to feel comfortable, and we want you to be informed. If you'd like to contact me, I'll put our number again at the end of the presentation, but our toll-free is 877-732-4845, and my direct extension is 208. That will ring to my desk. We are still socially distant, so you actually need my extension to get to me, where normally we would have a receptionist that would answer it.
Got it. Well, Darren, thanks so much for this conversation. I hope that we've been able to address most of the questions that people have about this upcoming trip. And I know that I'm really excited and looking forward to it, and just praying that the Lord is going to send a good group of folks so that we can have an amazing time in Greece in the summer of 2022.
I am so looking forward to hearing the experiences that your group has, and actually hoping that my wife and I can join you on that trip and see some of our friends from West Tennessee that we've made over the years as well. So
excellent.
Please reach out to either the bishop's office for information about registration, or you can reach out to us for that, or any other questions that you have. And we will have all that information about how to register showing up as the end of the video comes around. So thanks so much. Thank you, Bishop, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Great.